Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, John B. Lee.
John, at a recent talk that you gave, I heard you say something that got me thinking, and so I want to sort of pose it to you, a springboard, if you like, to talk about it. You said, "The thing I like best about poetry is it allows you to linger." Want to expand on that a little?
Yes, yesterday I was listening to CBC Radio and I heard some people talking about coincidence, and then someone had written a book called Slow Thinking and Fast Thinking. And we live in a world where some of the people teaching you how to think want quick answers. A true or false test, a multiple choice test. The thing that was created in order to make it easy to mark for the computer, which really isn't a very good way of measuring people's knowledge at all, but we do live in this quick think age where come up with the answers. Okay, now, okay, where? Yes, 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 and you get, and then you have the people that understand that maybe the best answer might be the one that you don't get, because the thoughtful person is sitting at the back of the room, if you're a teacher, and that's probably the poet in the room, or the artist in the room, or the actress in the room, it's certainly someone in the room who's thoughtful. So slow thinking is actually sometimes very deep thinking. And some things yield themselves to fast thinking, you know. You got to think fast when you're in a canoe and there's a waterfalls in front of you and you're armed with a map and there's the waterfalls, let's get out of the water
right now,
because there's this urgency to it. And some things like Jeopardy, you come up with a fast answer and the guy that presses the button fastest and has it at his fingertips, and you get rewarded for that and you get a lot of money for that. But who gets a lot of money for thinking slowly and deeply and taking the time to frame a thought? There's a scene in Schindler's List, a wonderful scene. People working in Schindler's factory have a day off. And of course, they're slave labor, but they are glad to be alive. And they're standing around a barrel with a fire. And one of them, who was a history professor, and now he's dipping things in chrome and changing their color and doing the work that a machine could do better, he says, "I'm so grateful to have a day where I have the time to frame a thought." And you realize that that man, or people like him, understand that sometimes you have to think about something for a very, very long while before it will yield its mystery. And I'm not talking about the kind of answers that science yields. I'm talking about the metaphysical questions like, why are we here? What's the meaning of life? Why do good people die? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do children die? Why are babies still born? Why me, Lord? Why am I so lucky? Why did I get to be born into a loving family and in Canada and there was no war and I can live my entire life as a fortunate human? When you travel around the world and you see me, had opportunities and so on. So the thing about lingering, the thing that art does, instead of going through the Louvre at a crushing pace, go and look at one painting, because one painting will show all the paintings in the room to you.
Yeah.
If it's a good one, if it contains the world, which is what every great work of art does. I will show you the universe in a grain of sand. That's what Blake said. And we don't have enough people reminding us of the contemplative in this day and age. And poetry rewards the contemplative. It not only requires it, but it rewards it. Because the payoff, you can see it in young people. As I said, that poem that I told you about, Margaret Saunders' poem, I can see young people going, wow.
Yeah.
Like I've just pulled a rabbit out of the hat, because they see something that's there and they say, why didn't I see it till you showed it to me? And it's because you never lingered long enough. Nobody ever required you, and nobody realized the person who is your mentor is somebody who has lingered. So poets need to linger themselves, and they do it by inclination, and readers are encouraged to linger. Stay on one poem, read it over and over again. and it yields. So linger.
And if I can share something with you too, I was having a similar thing where I was reading a fair amount of poetry and none of it was sticking, none of it was talking to me. And I have to do a great deal of driving too. So what I decided I would do this year is I would learn some poems off by heart and then say them to myself as I was driving because it gives you that, you know, I've got an hour and a half driving into Oshawa or whatever and all I've got are the 20 lines or whatever of a poem, and it does allow you to think it through and come at it in different ways. And
yes, and just to linger on that thought for a moment, when you say the words, when they're already the best words in the best order, not only are you savoring the beauty of those words, you're actually talking to yourself. And what you're doing is you're reconnecting the deep self with the universe. You're healing and harmonizing. If you're really present when you're saying those words, they will transform. But we're transformed inside. It doesn't change your mind in the sense that most people mean when they say change your mind. It doesn't persuade you of something, but it changes your mind in the sense that it gives you a sense of connection to yourself. Mm-hmm. And you also are reminded that you belong here. And you listen to what you're saying, like you're doing when you're going down the road reciting a poem. You're really reconnecting. Thing about the arts, not just poetry, because poetry does involve saying the words, you're experiencing them, then you are actually reconnecting with yourself. And you're reconnecting the what Carlos Castaneda called the luminous cable that connects you to the stars.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
This is called Wire Walker, and I watched it because accidentally I was in Niagara Falls the same day that Walenda was walking across the falls. I was there to see Ringo Starr. Is what I was there for, and I love the Beatles, and I was grateful to see Ringo Starr. But Sean, my son Sean, said, "Isn't this the day the guy's walking across the falls?" So we went and watched him, and then I wrote the poem, Wire Walker. He set out on the cable, walking over Niagara Falls as though balanced on a thread. In his electric orange raiment, like a brilliant spider on a silk, a lovely incandescent marbled orb weaver, this Walenda, a third generation daredevil, slowing over the plum weights, then quick as an arachnid in a rush from suddenly seeing itself being seen in a busy garden, confident and striding, until he entered the complex crosswind, where the vapors plumed and swirled in a wet smolder. It was then he felt the breath and push of an unanticipated weather. It was then he began to pray to God of sparrows, the God of gulls, and the wind-hovering hawks, and he felt the nudge and mischief that does not love us, defiance and the ineluctable perils that blur the burning thorax of the wire walker. His heart and the drum echo of its pulse blooming at the wrist with the flesh stung blue. The image of ancestors, the long drop of their dying into the damp tear gather of ghosts. The gray sorrow of rain pooling in the long veils of an upcurled leaf. The thistling lifeline of a widow's palm. What morbid wishfulness hushes in us all. Though we're carried by his brave motion, we also long in the deep plunge of a common faith to go roaring over the emerald edge as we fall beyond knowing.
Well,
you'd like to like that.
Yes, I do, very much indeed. And thank you so much
for
joining us today and for reading from your poems, sharing them with us. Where can listeners find your poetry?
Poem Wild Mushrooms that I read earlier on is actually in an e-zine called Morel, which is online. There's a number of my poems online in Numero Cinque. There are three editions of that. My books are available in any good bookstore, so the three bookstores in Canada that are left have them. But they're available from Black Moss Press. The web will let you know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you once again, John, for joining us. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in today. We hope you will connect with us at our website, www.wordonthehills.com, and leave a comment there, some feedback. We love to hear from you. And you will tune in again next week right here on Northumberland 897 Truly Local Radio.